That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we are. Welcome to our drive-in service at Bethany United Methodist Church. I'd like to make sure I ask you right now to text any praises or prayer requests to 540-495-0501. We've got the sign up here. We want to make sure we address any prayers or prayer requests or praises. Pastor Susan will address them later in her prayer time. Before we start our service, though, I would like to ask all of you to bow your heads and pray with me now. Good morning, Father. We are so glad to gather here together in your presence, Lord. You have known us since before we were in our mother's wombs. You know our joys and you know our burdens, so we bring them to you now. Lord, please heal what needs to be healed. Celebrate what needs to be celebrated. Lord, you are our strength. You are the breath we breathe. And we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your son Jesus to earth to be our Savior and Redeemer. Through him, you have made all things new, including us. Father, we pray right now that you will feel honored and glorified and blessed with our offering of praise and worship today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So grace, we are saved by the grace and love of our Father in heaven. In Acts 15, we read the account of the council at Jerusalem. Some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." But Peter stood up and he refuted what they said. He said, "God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as we are." Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now we're going to sing our first song, "This Is Amazing Grace." And think about that. He purified us all by our hearts by faith, so we have grace. Let's sing it out now.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules our nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Amen. Amen, amen. Today, Pastor Susan is bringing us a message entitled, Known by the Scars. And the scripture reading is the accounting of Joseph revealing himself to his brothers in Egypt. This is the prime example of God turning something bad into something good. Can I hear an amen, my brothers and sisters? Come on. Yes. We have all encountered trials and difficulties in our life's journeys. But you know what? If we reflect honestly, we can see where God has brought good into each and every situation. Again, amen and amen. He hasn't brought our dead loved ones back to us, no. And he may not have healed all our diseases. But during these situations, perhaps other relationships have been healed. Or we've brought someone closer to Jesus because of what we've gone through. So we need to think about all those times as we sing our next song, It Is Well. It Is Well with Our Soul is a song that was written in the depths of tragedy. So when we think about that, God brings good through everything. It is well with my soul.
Scars are a sign of grace in our lives, and Father, how you brought us through. When deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you proved. Now every battle still to come, this be our song. It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well. With my soul. Weeping may come, remain for a night, but joy will paint the morning sky. You're there in the fast, you're there in the feast, your faithfulness will always shine. Now every blessing still to come, let this be our song.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Trust your way.
Trust your
name.
Trust your name.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
You lead us through battles.
You lead us through battles.
You lead us to blessing.
You lead.
And you make us fruitful.
And you make us fruitful
in the land of our suffering, God. It is well. It is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Trust your way. Trust your name.
Trust your name.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well with
my soul.
It is well. It is well.
Trust your way.
Trust your ways.
Trust your name.
Trust your name.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
Morning. Yeah. Kathleen mentioned that our scripture this morning is comes from Genesis, and it's the story about Joseph. And I kind of want to tell you that story. I also want to mention another story. When I was, not quite 3 years old, my older brother decided he wanted to try out shaving. But instead of trying to shave his face, he thought he would shave my legs. And so he didn't do a very good job. He got to my kneecap and he sliced it open. And I don't remember that very well, but I have a scar on my knee that's still there. It doesn't hurt because, you know, scars don't hurt, but they can tell something happened there. And of course, I forgave my brother. You know, they do things like that sometimes. And I think about another person who has some scars, my father-in-law. He actually accidentally cut off 3 of his toes. So he has a big scar. And that was a big injury. It took him a while to heal from that. But he did heal. And he'll never forget what happened. But he was able to heal and overcome. And he walks just fine. And you wouldn't even know that he was missing 3 toes. Well, in our scripture, Joseph is he's a young man. And he's he's kind of his dad's favorite. Your dad probably doesn't have favorites, but his dad did. And his dad made him this coat, this special coat that had long sleeves, and he had 10 older brothers, and they were kind of jealous of him. And on top of that, Joseph would have these dreams, and he would tell his brothers, oh yeah, in my dream, you guys all bowed down to me. And that made them mad because he was younger than them. And so they came up with this really bad idea. The 10 older brothers decided to sell Joseph into slavery. And so they sold him, and he ended up in Egypt as a slave. And things went okay for a while, and then he got thrown in jail. Somebody accused him of something he didn't do. He ended up in jail. He stayed there for a while, and he interpreted someone else's dream. And that person got out of jail and mentioned that Joseph had this ability to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh, when he needed a dream interpreted, he called on Joseph. And then Joseph was able to tell him something really important about his dream. And then Joseph became a really important person to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But I think that Joseph maybe had some scars. You know, you couldn't see them. They weren't visible. But he'd been through a lot. He'd been sold, and he was away from his family, and he'd been in jail, and he'd been a slave. Those things leave a mark. But the thing is, even though they leave a mark, we can still heal from those things. And maybe some of you, if any one of you's had a broken arm or a broken leg, you know, it hurts at the time, and you have to wear a cast, and people probably know you broke something, but then you heal, you get your cast off, and you're okay. Well, Joseph found a way to heal and forgive his brothers. That was just an amazing thing because they had really hurt him. But we can heal, and in time, we can even forgive. So I hope, if you have a scar, just remember that, yeah, we get hurt, but God can help us have healing in our life. So let's pray. Gracious God, help us to be people who can forgive and love one another. Help us to know that our scars aren't the only part of our story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Is Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Thank you, Jerry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we come before you this morning and we hear about Joseph and his family and his ability to overcome. Lord, help us to remember that though evil things may happen, you can bring good out of evil. Lord, be with me in this message. May my words be your words. Amen. Well, a while back, golly, I guess it's been almost 20 years now, my brother went out to get the paper one morning, and he walked out on his doorstep, and next to his paper, he found a young woman huddled there on the front porch. And she said, "Please, please, they have been holding me captive, and I have nowhere to go." So he brought her inside and sat her down at the breakfast table, and slowly this young woman, Lucy, told her story to my brother Charlie and his wife, Kathy. And they listened about how she had come to seek sanctuary with them, for that is what she was looking for, was sanctuary. She was born in a poor family in Nigeria. And somehow her father met a doctor, George Udiozor, and his wife, who was also a doctor, and they were talking with Lucy's father, and they got very interested when they discovered that he had a 14-year-old daughter. Because her family was very poor, they couldn't afford to keep sending her to school, but she was a very bright girl. And the father expressed his concerns to this doctor, he and his wife, who seemed fabulously wealthy compared to Lucy's family. And so the two doctors said they wanted to take Lucy to America with them, where the wife was going to open a medical practice. And they said if Lucy came with them, they would adopt her, they would take her in, they would care for her, and in return, well, she could go to school there in America. She could learn English, and all she would have to do was help look after the two doctors' 6 children. And they would pay her. Well, it seemed like an amazing opportunity. But once she arrived in America, Lucy's life was nothing like the two doctors had described to her parents. They smuggled her into the country using their daughter's passport. So she was there illegally. She was not sent to school. Instead, she worked long days cooking, cleaning, looking after the children, sometimes even working in the medical office. She was told that if she tried to run away, the American police would throw her in jail because she was illegal. She didn't have a passport. And so, worse than that even, was that they beat her, they threatened her, and worst of all, the father began to sexually assault her. And after 5 years of being overworked, abused, and estranged from her family, Lucy decided she would take her chances with the outside world. And so she ran to a neighboring house where the doctors lived was fairly remote, but there were 3 other houses within walking distance of the house she had been living in. And she chose the one where she had seen that the family had a teenage daughter about her age. Some scars run deeper than others. Although you couldn't see them, who could doubt that being held captive, a slave for 5 years, who could doubt that that would leave a scar on your life? Lucy's story reminds me a little of Joseph's story. Joseph's story is a complicated one because he came from a complicated family. But the gist of this story is that he also had some scars. It's about his woundedness and his recovery. His scars are numerous, and yet he does not let those scars define him. He doesn't let them keep him from seeing God's larger story in his life. So Jesus has been in Egypt for quite a while when we hear this passage from chapter 45 of Genesis. And as a boy, Joseph was a dreamer, and he was his father's favorite. His father made him
a long robe with sleeves. Sometimes it's translated as a coat of many colors, but it was a long robe with sleeves, and it kind of implied that Joseph wasn't expected to do a lot of manual labor, sort of like, you know, the business suit of the day. And he was getting special treatment. And not only that, but he was naive enough that when he had a dream that he interpreted as his brothers bowing down to him, he told it to his brothers, and that kind of sent things over the edge. You know, they were really upset with him. Not only had he tattled on them in the past, but now he was saying they were going to bow down to him. And so one day when Joseph goes out to check on his brothers, sent by his father, they say, well, let's kill him. And Reuben, the oldest one, says, no, let's just throw him in a pit. And Reuben's idea was that he would come and bring him back out later. But some travelers came along, and they said, hey, let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. And so they did. And he ends up being a slave in the house of Potiphar. And he does a great job. He is awesome at what he does. But his boss's wife, Potiphar's wife, decides she wants him as a lover, not a worker. And when Joseph refuses her, she falsely accuses him of rape and has him thrown in prison. So if you're keeping score, that's at least two major scars: being sold unjustly as a slave, being unjustly accused of a crime. But inside the prison, he makes a favorable impression, and he begins to interpret dreams there as well, and eventually rises again from the dungeon to interpret dreams. When Joseph predicts a famine to come, Pharaoh appoints him as sort of the prime minister of Egypt. He has control over a great deal in the land, and he allows Joseph to start storing up grain so that when the famine comes, the people will have food. And the predicted famine hits the countryside, hits the land of Canaan where Jacob and his other sons live. And so they come to Egypt because they hear that the people in Egypt have food. Well, up to now, Joseph's ride in life has been a kind of a roller coaster ride with a lot of ups and downs, not knowing what was going to happen yet. But even though he's been tossed around, falsely accused, rejected, imprisoned, he still somehow manages not to take revenge on his brothers. When his brothers arrive in Egypt, he could have done something terrible to them. They didn't recognize him. They hadn't seen him all growing up. They hadn't seen him dressed as an Egyptian before. But they come to him for help, and so Joseph offers them hope and help. And then finally, he reveals who he is. He stands over his begging brothers who don't yet recognize him. He's been scarred for life. He has every right to see himself as a victim. And we wouldn't blame him if he did, but he doesn't. He refuses to give in to victimhood. And he overcomes those scars that were left by the ill treatment from his brothers and everything that followed. And he weeps. He sends everyone else except for his brothers out of the room. And he tells them the truth. I am Joseph. And he asks that heartbreaking question, is my father still alive? And his brothers were terrified. They were speechless. This is the moment they thought would never happen, that they would see their brother again, this brother that they claimed was dead, attacked by wild animals. And even though they're terrified, Joseph doesn't exact revenge on them. He says, I am the one whom you sold into Egypt, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Indeed, Joseph says, it was not you, my brothers, who sent me here, but it was God. And because God could bring something good out of what was meant for evil, Joseph's family now has a place to go to survive the famine and, in effect, preserve the covenant that God has made with Abraham's family. Joseph looks back on his life with new vision and sees that even though there is pain, injustice, rejection, and separation, it's only part of his story. Later, he'll sum it up in Genesis 50, verse 20, by saying, "Even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good in order to preserve the numerous people as he is doing today." What the world, the human plan, the human scheme meant for evil, God took and used for preserving life. One of the persistent puzzles of the human experience is, why do bad things happen? We live in a fallen world. We seem to live lives of constant jeopardy. We are vulnerable to a wide range of catastrophes, from sickness to crime to family dysfunction to oppression to all sorts of uncontrollable wound-inflicting mayhem. And we have a legitimate right to ask, where is God in all of this? But Joseph clearly sees God's hand at work in his story. After Lucy appeared on my brother's doorstep, he and his wife called the authorities, not to turn her in, but to find a way to set her free from the bondage that she had been living in for 5 years. It was decided that Kathy and Charlie's house was too close to her former captives. She went to a shelter for battered women, and immigration authorities started working on a temporary visa for her. And they began building a criminal case against the two doctors. Every so often, Kathy and Charlie would come with their two daughters, their baby daughter and their older daughter, and they would take her out to eat or to see some of the sights around her, things that she had never been allowed to see or do. Eventually, the wife was arrested and sent to prison for harboring a juvenile illegal alien for financial gain, inducing an alien to illegally enter the country, and conspiring to harbor an illegal alien. She received a little over 7 years in prison for her crime. Her husband fled to Nigeria, but he was extradited, tried, and convicted as well to 8 years in prison. Lucy began working on her GED, and she testified at both trials, and she became a United States citizen. She contacted her family in Nigeria, and she went on to live life in America, the life she had been promised but had not received before. Would Lucy have been better off if she had never met the Udiozars and experienced what could be called a nightmare of captivity? I don't know. I don't know. But everyone who met her was amazed by her intelligence and her determination. Her life definitely took a turn for the worse, but there was also good in her life, good that came from her being brought to America, and in the end, she received justice. Joseph's vision tells us that despite all evidence to the contrary, God was still at work in his story, making things good despite appearances. We suffer the scars, but we can still put our trust in God. We don't know what our post-COVID life will be like. All that we have been through will leave a mark on each of us, but God can work good through us and in us. Now, not every tragedy has a silver lining, but out of tragedy, God can work towards good. God used the slavery of Joseph to save his chosen family, through whom all the earth would be blessed. The God who does this is also the God who transforms the evil and unjust death of Jesus into the salvation of the world. God's goodness wins in the end. And we know through the book of Revelation that that goodness continues on and on into eternity. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Those are the words of Paul that he wrote from prison. Joseph showed his scars and his tears to his brothers, and they became signs of healing. And the risen Jesus did the same. He showed his scars to his followers, his disciples, when he came out of the tomb. God took the horror of death in a violent and terrible way and brought good out of it, the ultimate good, a good that blesses all of creation, that brings restoration and renewal for all of us. You may have some scars. They might be physical or emotional or psychological or spiritual, but they might also be signs of healing, a vision of life for you and for others. Joseph looked at the scars of slavery and saw that God had a saving plan for his life and the lives of his people. Sometimes the scars that we carry can enable us to speak into the pain of someone else's life, may help others have the courage to seek healing. Revealing the pain of loss might help you help others who are in pain and in need of healing. We didn't ask for the scars that we receive, nor did God inflict them upon us. And yet, those scars can make known to the world how God can make good out of the worst situations. They don't go away. And yet, the scars of Joseph and Jesus remind us that the tears we shed, the emotional pain inflicted on us, and the heartache of loss will all become memories one day, like the scars of Jesus. We may bear the marks, but they need not hurt us any longer. They can be signs of healing as we seek to be healers in a world that is hurting. Amen. Well, we thank everyone who has made this service possible and continues to make ministry through Bethany possible. We are still doing ministry, and that's a wonderful thing. Let us pray for the blessings God has given us. Lord, I thank you for all who have given of themselves, of their time, of their finances, of their gifts and their talents. Lord, thank you for all of those who help us to be the body of Christ in the world. Continue to help us do what we can to bring healing to a hurt world. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I do have a few announcements. You might have seen these on the happenings, but want to remind everyone that Johnny Barr has a 100th birthday coming up. If we were in church, we would definitely be celebrating that with cake, maybe some ice cream. But since we can't do that, you'll see Johnny's address on the happenings. We'd love to send him a card. And then on September 6th, Sunday from 1 to 3, we're going to have a drive-through. So Johnny will be here, and you can drive by and wish him a happy birthday from your car. So remember to mark that on your calendar. And speaking of significant birthdays, Hazel Truslow has a birthday tomorrow, so you might want to wish her happy birthday. And if you look at the happenings, you'll see we can now have in-person meetings at the church. There's some guidelines. You have to wear a mask. We can't have more than 50 people. Just know that in-person meetings in the church is possible. Just let the office know if you want to schedule something. So, and we'll do the whole social distancing, all that stuff that we've gotten good at. Also, among our prayer requests, we want to be in prayer for Leslie Wagner. She has a compression fracture in her lower back and is in a great deal of pain. So definitely be in prayer for Leslie. Also, Phil Mikesell is having a procedure on his back, so we want to be in prayer for Phil as well. And we want to be in prayer for, golly, all our college students and the administrators and all our teachers as well. First responders, doctors, all of those folks. We just need to pray for them all the time. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh God, our Creator, you who took and made all of creation and called it good, you urge us to work with one another. You call us to find a way to agree with one another enough to be in ministry together. Lord, help us to not grip too tightly to our differences, our different perspectives and opinions. Lord, sometimes we worship the God of being right, but help us let go of that idol and help us to claim allegiance to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we might be one people, one purpose, to spread the love of God, to make disciples through that love. Oh Lord, your way is more excellent than anything we could conceive of. Your way transcends whatever dim truths we might fashion. And your way seems sometimes too high for us. But help us imagine it, oh God. Help us to reach for it. Help us to claim that you are above all else. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are in need of healing. We ask that you would pour out healing upon them, that you would cease pain where there is pain, that you would heal the hurts of our people and of the world. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you would give them hope in the promise of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, be with our students, from the youngest to the oldest, as they contemplate returning to school and all that that means. We pray for the administrators and the decision makers and the teachers, that they might be safe and we might find ways to help those who need to learn in safety. Lord, continue to make us into the body of Christ at work in this world. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we're going to conclude our service by singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Amen. Have a blessed week.